Welcome to the Member Solutions Easy Defense teleconference. I'm Kathy Marler, and I'm here today with Bill Kipp, who is the founder and actually the designer, I should say, of NATWA's Easy Defense program. He's also president of the International Fast Defense Association. He just was recently promoted to fifth degree black belt, has written a book, had a new program, Self-Defense for Life, and my goodness, on top of that, he's also a UBBT, Ultimate Black Belt, test graduate. So welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Kathy. It's great to be here. And I just want to say also, before we get started, a real big thanks to Member Solutions for being so supportive of the Ultimate Black Belt test.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know, we know a good thing when we see it, so we'd like to help out where we can.
Well, it was a long, hard journey, and the support was really, really appreciated.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, Bill, let's get started. You know, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about e-defense, what it really is, the concept behind it? Because I think, you know, there's a lot of speculation, or, you know, we've seen you do a lot of different things with a bullet man, without a bullet man, you know, and I think sometimes the perception might be that Easy Defense is just like any other self-defense program. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what it really is and the concept?
Yeah, you bet. I think there is a lot of confusion out there because there exists so many different methods or versions of this training methodology. I think the beginning of the concept was a number of years back when we introduced the RAMCAT concepts to the NATMA program, at the NATMA conference. And the idea was scenario-based training, how to take a really different concept of self-defense training, different from what we typically learn in the martial arts, which is a technique-based paradigm where we look at all kinds of different techniques to deal with all kinds of different situations. This technology is quite a bit different. It involves actual live scenarios with the students coming out and going one-on-one with the person who's playing out the bad guy, if you will. And we had a lot of success. People saw it and went, holy cow, this is completely different. They also saw it, which was really cool, not as a threat to martial arts, but really as kind of a missing link. And from that, the interest really started getting piqued among the martial arts community. Well, the bottleneck in getting people certified and really disseminating this technology out in a large scale is the crazy bullet man armor, you know, the armor that everybody loves to make fun of. The big helmets and the big suits and all that crazy stuff. And you know, they are an important part of this technology, but they are not at all a crucial element to being able to run this program successfully. So what I did was, at the prodding of a bunch of people, I started to think, well, how can we teach this program, teach the concept, without going with the actual bullet man armor? Because it is expensive, and it's timely. It takes quite a bit of time to train somebody to be able to do it effectively within the bullet man suit. But we were figuring the real beauty of the technology is not even really in the fight so much, but it's in the awareness and the verbal skills to detect and avoid a situation, and if that doesn't work, then to be able to talk your way out of a situation. These are the most salient self-defense skills, I think, of all, that most of our students report back using very, very effectively. And then the actual physical skills, I figured, you know, of course it is important. We need to be able to deal with it physically in case those awareness and verbal skills don't work. So I started playing with shield drills, just taking in kind of the martial arts concept and using martial arts shields so that the students could hit with full power, and then using the same step-by-step methodology that we did with the bullet man armor, the big armor, we could really pretty well replicate the actual physical technique. So the long story short is we were able to replicate the awareness, the verbal, and then the physical skills that we've been doing for so many years, and to do it in a very a way that's much easier to disseminate to the martial arts world.
Okay, wow. That's a lot of information. well, I'll take it all in. I guess one of the biggest questions I think a lot of people have too, Bill, is, and you sort of answered it already, but, you know, what is the real difference in the Easy Defense program compared to other self-defense programs? I mean, I know personally, you know, as being a consultant on that side of things, that a lot of people teach a lot of kicking and punching and, you know, escaping from holds.
Right.
But, you know, how does Easy Defense compare to those other programs, or just what's, you know, usually taught in a self-defense course?
Yeah, and that's it is a different training concept. the main premise we're working with in the Easy Defense stuff is that the number one factor in effective self-defense is learning how to deal with the adrenaline and fear rush that everybody gets when they get into a dangerous or even a low-level verbal confrontation. That adrenaline and stress that causes so many people to freeze like a deer in a headlight or flail ineffectually. So what we're doing in the Easy Defense is we're taking people through a very step-by-step process, a very short and simple but pretty ingenious step-by-step process where we give a little bit of stress and we give them some very simple skills so that they can have a successful reaction to the stress, and then we build on that step-by-step where we increase the stress a little bit and we increase the skill level a little bit so that in a very short amount of time, we've literally helped the students recondition their response to the fear and stress so that instead of it being their worst enemy, where it causes them to freeze or flail, they turn that into just super go-for-it, fire-it-up attitude, and that along with the skills that we teach, it really provides a very powerful and effective end product. So, you know, in the martial arts, we're used to, again, the technique-based paradigm where we're spending years and years to perfect a lot of physical skills. This is not a replacement for that, but it just really fills in some of the gaps that we don't typically do in your traditional self-defense/martial arts program.
And you know, I think that is really, really key is that it doesn't have to be a complete replacement. If someone's already teaching self-defense or straight self-defense, you know, they can add to it, and it's a big gap. And that is one thing that, I mean, gosh, in all the years I had trained before I saw Easy Defense, I was never taught how to deal with, you know, a verbal assault. I thought, just break their knees, right? No, just kidding. But, I mean, you know, people need to know how to de-escalate situations opposed to just, you know, pulling out, you know, jab, cross, or side kick to the knee.
Well, exactly.
Like that.
And it does. It's really filling in, as we said, the missing link in the martial arts skills, because I know for myself it's the same deal. I trained for years and years in the martial arts, and I never learned anything other than punch kick. So inevitably, when I got into an altercation, that was my only option, and it's not always the most appropriate. In fact, usually it's not the most appropriate way to go. And these awareness and verbal skills, people are reporting back saying, wow, they work so amazingly well, because most people who come up and attack us are not necessarily looking for a fight. And if we just jump right into our physical skills, we may be exacerbating the situation, making it much worse than it would have been if we tried to de-escalate it.
Right. And I imagine there could be legalities around that as well.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, I imagine there could be, you know, legal repercussions, you know, for just jumping in.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's the liability issue, which is a huge one, which we really need to be aware of in the martial arts.
Right. I agree with that, definitely. Now, Bill, let me ask you this. How can somebody fit this program into their current martial arts curriculum or add to it or, you know, add to what they're already doing? I mean, what can you do with Easy Defense?
Yeah, great question. You know, the system as it exists is very, very flexible. I've taught it in pretty much every conceivable way, time frame, incorporated into classes, taught seminars, you name it. So typically there's a couple ways that people like to jump in that have worked really, really well. One way is to just follow the turnkey program as it exists in the manuals and in the videos, where you can run seminars to the general public and to your students, but mostly to the general public, to reach people who are not coming in for traditional martial arts training, so that you can get a deeper reach into your community, provide a great service, and there's always a turnover where some of these students will come in and want to continue with the traditional martial arts. So that's one way that's worked real effectively, just a seminar to the general public. Another way, and this to me is even more exciting, is that people have been very successful implementing these drills. It's all basically just a variety of drills. And you can take any one of the drills or any two or three and implement them into a rotating curriculum, implement them into a class structure to where you just take, say, 10 or 15 minutes and say, all right, gang, we're going to focus just on some self-defense stuff. The drills are really, really fun, and the cool thing is it teaches them how to deal with the adrenaline and the fear in an age-appropriate and an appropriate method. I think one of the things that a lot of people have a misinterpretation of is that it involves a lot of foul language and all. Certainly, just like the suit, there is an element of that, and there are places where you can implement that, but most of the drills that we do don't involve any of that. so that it can be incorporated into a classroom quite well.
So it is extremely flexible. You can use a little of it, or it sounds like you could use a lot of it and do a full blown out seminar with it.
Exactly.
In fact, I do know someone locally who actually makes it a requirement for their black belt test that at the very end that they all go through several different scenarios that are found in the Easy Defense program, in the adult program for the adults, that is. And for the kids, they'll be doing that as well with their children earning black belts. So I think that's a really great supplement.
That's awesome. And I'm hearing more and more of that, where people are implementing it into their testing structure and really bringing in some nice color, giving a little bit more depth to their program beyond the traditional curriculum. And again, the big thing is these drills are really fun. The people that do it just, they get fired up. It's so much fun, and it really is giving, it's creating a bridge so that they can deal with the adrenaline and fear of a real situation, but they're learning it in a really constructive way, and also in a way that we can't typically do in the traditional martial arts environment. Can't go around scaring the crap out of people and having them hit full force, or we're not going to have students for very long.
Right, exactly. I'm with you there, too. So. Great point. Bill, I wanted to ask you, and I think a lot of the martial arts instructors listening to this would really like to know this, too, and get your opinion on this. You know, what do you think is the most important concept or topics for today's martial arts instructors to really hammer in and reinforce to our children today to help keep them safe?
One part is simply to acknowledge that fear is okay. And what I mean by that when I was growing up, I had a lot of intense situations and got bullied a lot. And I learned that fear was an integral part of my life, but I never learned that it was an acceptable part of life. So what I did, as most people who feel fear and who doesn't, is I learned how to stuff that fear and dance around it, and I never learned how to deal with it in a straightforward way. And for me, that took me on a long journey through martial arts, through military training, et cetera, to try to eradicate fear. And it wasn't until I came across this technology that the light went off, and I went, it's not about getting rid of the fear, it's about learning how to use this natural survival instinct as our best friend. And all of a sudden, that opened up so many choices that were not available while I was stuffing and avoiding that fear. Now, the second part of my answer is, for me, the number one most powerful self-defense technique there is awareness and verbal skills. And that's kind of a big chunk. But essentially, being aware of how do we present, how do we communicate. Studies done with predators show that they look for specific body cues, body language, eye contact, tone of voice, before they ever choose their victim. And if the person fails those cues, in other words, if the person makes good eye contact, if the person carries themselves well, if they look around and look aware, usually they're going to be left alone just by that alone. And then if that doesn't work with them, the verbal skills, most of our students who take the skills, even against the full bullet man suit, report back they rarely ever have to use their physical skills because the awareness and the verbal skills work like magic. You look at, again, the mindset of the predator, they're looking for that easy victim. And if you look that person in the eyes and you make a good, strong, you draw a line in the sand and say, I am not going to be your victim, 9.9 times out of 10, they're going to leave you alone. And the analogy I like to make is you look at a cat cornered by a dog. The cat is so much smaller, the dog's so much bigger and stronger. If that cat tries to run out of the corner, what's the dog do? It's on it and chases it, and it's a bad deal for the cat. If that tiny little cat turns towards that dog, raises its hackles, puts out its claws, and hisses, 9 times out of 10, that dog's going to leave. It's the same thing in the human environment.
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you bring those points up, because so basically, instead of teaching kids to not be fearful, we're teaching them that it's okay to be afraid. And in fact, instead of just standing there doing nothing, you know, we need to take some type of action. And by the same token, you know, you're teaching them to channel that, but also to be aware of how they're standing, how they're looking. And these are really basic concepts, but they're really, really important, is what I'm getting.
Absolutely.
You know, from you to teach.
And you see how it doesn't matter if you're teaching Kung Fu, Karate, Taekwondo, grappling. These techniques are universal. These concepts are universal and can be employed into virtually any martial arts style there is.
And I just am going to share like a 30-second story here, you know, just for everybody. I was just recently teaching Easy Defense for kids over a weekend, maybe a week and a half ago, And I had a little girl who had taken it a year before who was a little too young for it. You should be about 7 to, you know, really grasp the concepts, I believe they'll recommend. And she was 5. I let her in, just was very, very, very careful with, you know, the intensity level of some of the scenarios and the drills we play. And the first year she was almost, you know, trembling and shaking to the point where I couldn't even have a man, you know, woof, as we say, or play the game. I had to come down myself and, you know, pretend to be the bad guy. And this year she came back. She's teeny. She's adorable. You know, I wanted to take her myself. She's just adorable. But she roared so loud with her verbal skills from this program. So, you know, back away, you're too close, I don't know you, somebody help me, that I just couldn't believe that voice came from that little girl. And nobody, that would shock anybody who would want to take her. It would just shock them to death. So this stuff really works.
And how rewarding is that? You know, as you say that, I'm having flashes of virtually every child class I've ever taught. You get a couple of the little firecrackers. And it's funny because the younger kids don't have all this negative conditioning. Oh, it's not cool to be loud and all. They don't have all that negative conditioning to go through. Whereas the older kids, they're a little more subdued and they don't want to embarrass themselves. But these young kids, a lot of them young girls, get out and they roar like a lion. And you just look at them. You want to take them home. You want to adopt them right there because you see them open up when they realize that the human spirit that they have inside them is enough to be so powerful if they just let it roar.
Right, and, you know, and just the mere fact that she's taking action instead of just standing there kind of crying or shaking, you know, which is, if you don't practice it, you know, that's what can happen. That's really what can happen if you're caught off guard. You just don't know what to do.
You know, that brings up one other point that's really crucial, and that is how you practice it, because the technology that I drew from around this states pretty clearly that for training to have a lasting effect, in other words, for you to be able to train someone and have them walk out the door and actually apply this in a real situation, you've got to have that 3 crucial modules. One is the brain. You need to give them age-appropriate problem-solving skills so that in the moment they can, what we call, use the high brain. They can literally delineate, okay, what's the situation? How do I need to respond? And again, at an age-appropriate level. 2, you need to affect the body. They need to physically do the skills. Lectures are great, but they haven't shown to be lasting as far as people actually being able to apply what the skills they learn in a lecture. And then finally, you have to affect the emotions. You need to tap into the part of the brain that's actually functioning under duress. We call this the low brain or the survival part of the brain. And in our training, we tap into that low brain in a very playful, age-appropriate way, but they get a little bit of fear, and then they learn that fear can actually be their best friend. And that's why this program has been so effective, that the kids, once again, they're tapping into that fear, and instead of it being their worst enemy, it's their best friend in the whole world if they ever need it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Bill, now hopefully we get everybody excited, because I'm excited, and I'm going to teach a class tonight.
Awesome.
Knowing that I'm going to go teach a class, and everybody else pretty much on this teleconference is going to do the same thing, can you give us, like, just one basic drill that we can understand over the telephone that we could actually go and teach with our kids tonight, maybe a verbal drill or something that relates to what you were talking about awareness being important or where fear is okay?
Yeah, you bet. See, first, it's important to understand the teaching paradigm that we use, and that is we work with a triad. The triad is, one, the student is one part. The second is the person playing the woofer, the person who's taking on the role of the bad guy, if you will. And then the third person is the job of the coach. This is the person who stands behind the student and whispers into the ear of the student little problem-solving tips. If the student should have any problems, if they forget to do something, the coach is right there to be their guardian angel and to whisper in tips. And the coach's job is very, very important. So one great way to do this is what we call the portal of safety drill, where on one side of the room you set up 2 cones. Their job is to get from one end of the room to the other through the portal of safety. And in this situation, we're going to play out a bully scenario at school. So you want to give the kids context. Where would the actual portal of safety be in school? Well, it could be a teacher. It could be the principal's office. It could be one of the security people. Or it could be a group of friends. So that they have the context of, okay, it's not just these orange cones, which is an abstract idea, but how do you bring this into actual real life? So you set up the student at one end of the room, and the coach brings the student out. Now, for this, we line all the kids up against the wall so that the students are coming out one at a time in front of all the other students. The students that are standing there watching, really important for them to visualize and really be actively engaged so that they're learning all that repetition, even though they're coming out one at a time for their particular scenario. So you would, as the coach, you would bring the first student out. You would just give them very quick instructions. You're just going to walk down, and your job is to get to the portal of safety, and I will be right here with you every step of the way, because they're going to be pretty nervous. The job of the woofer, and when I say woofer, it's kind of like our job. You know, there's a lot of misconception that our job is all about being pretty abusive and swearing and that sort of thing. That is a part of some of the levels at the adult level, but for the kid, we do none of that. For an anti-bully, it's things like coming out, we're just pretending to be kids. Hey, kid, come here. You stole my bicycle, or you cheated off my paper. You stole my lunch. Just real age-appropriate things.
Okay.
And you want to go up, and the whole purpose when you play the woofer is not to bark out at them commands. We're doing that, but the purpose is to give them a little bit of verbal provocation and see how they respond. And then our job is to literally pull their power out of them. In other words, you don't want to just bombard them so strongly that they're overpowered and then they get disempowered from the experience.
Right.
So it's an important kind of a razor's edge. There's a lot of flexibility as long as you keep it fun and you have the whole support of the whole team. There's some leeway. But the idea, again, is you want to come out as the woofer and you want to give a little bit of verbal provocation. You want to allow the students to see how they're going to respond. If they respond well, then we can start to back off. Now, the goal of the drill, and it's so important whenever you do any type of scenario-based training, to be very clear as a team, what is the end purpose of the drill? And for this, it's to get that student to be like that cat in the corner with the dog. We're the dog, and to get that cat in the corner to just really get loud. And for them, what we say is one very simple command, and that is, back away, you're too close. Now, you notice the tone of voice that I say that. So when you demonstrate and have them practice, you want to make sure they're not saying back away, or you don't want to have them getting any kind of macho attitude like back away. It's a very flat, what we call a bad dog voice. Bad dog, back off, back away, you're too close. And with that, you want to have them use congruent body posturing. So the stances that we use are just one leg back, one leg forward, hands up in about a 45-degree position, and then looking straight in the eye, using their commands to say back away, you're too close. They repeat that over and over and over again. Usually it shouldn't take more than two or three times, getting louder each time to where finally the woofer backs away, clears a line for the portal of safety, and then the student at that point walks deliberately towards the portal of safety, watching the bully, because if the student turns around and runs, it could elicit that predator-prey response, and then the bullies might chase them. So instead, it's saying, I see you, walking towards the doorway to safety, and it's teaching them how they can use their fear as their power, because it is intimidating, how they can learn how to keep distance. We also keep a 2-footstep distance rule so that if the bully comes in close to them, they back away 2 footsteps. It's also very important that they do not go in closer to the bully than any 2 footsteps, because that could instigate a situation. So again, as the woofer, we're being cognitive of what is that 2-footstep distance, and we're playing that as a chess game. We don't want to push them too much, but you want to get them to really set a boundary. And then the important thing is, once they do it right, that you give a clear success. I get real demonstrative. My hands come up. I go, whoa, almost as if I've been hit with a rock or something. I back off and go, okay. And it's giving them a clear, great job. I get out of the way, and then the coach is there to say, okay, go towards the doorway to safety. After that's done, the whole line applauds as a group support, and then you bring the next student out.
Wow, Bill, you sound like you've done this before.
In my sleep.
It's like you know this in your sleep. So basically that drill, you know, is a role play of, you know, somebody, some of the things kids might say if they're picked on in school, and you're teaching them to use that good posture you've taught them about, to stand up, eye contact, to use that bad dog voice, and to just use that one verbal boundary, back away, you're too close.
Correct.
That's very cool. Now, I know we've got a few more minutes before we want to open the floor up for some questions, but I do want to transition, if I can, real quick, into the adult self-defense, because you've got not just a children's program, you've got an adult program.
Correct.
You know, and I think a lot of things school owners come in contact with these days is people want to learn self-defense, but they, like, want to learn it by blinking their eyes, or they want to learn it really fast. They want a quick fix.
Right.
You know, and we've been brought up, you know what, you've got to train. You know, it's going to take a couple years, or the longer I have you, the better, which is usually true. But with the Easy Defense course that you have for the adult program, I think, first of all, how does that program cater to that perception that, you know, I want to learn now? And what can you really teach them in a couple of hours? What can they really accomplish in just a few hours, Bill?
Yeah, that's a good, very, very common question, especially coming from, as we all are, we're martial artists, where we're used to the idea that, hey, it takes 3,000 to 5,000 repetitions for something to become body memory, and it takes years and years to master the skills and the discipline that we've worked so hard in the martial arts and that we take so seriously in the martial arts. So what we're doing here, I've already alluded to the three concepts of the training, the mind, the body, and the emotions. So the quickest way that I can say it, and I'll elaborate on it, of course I will, I always do, the quickest way I can say it is that you look at someone who has, as a child, been victimized, and in one, it could even be a 20 to 30 second victimization, could certainly go on longer, but in 20 or 30 seconds where someone felt powerless and was victimized, that gets conditioned into that person's subconscious as a recurring pattern, if you will, so that in subsequent years, even decades, even many decades later, if they get into a scary situation, they will revert back to that. The idea being, you look at someone who's been a victim. Well, they weren't born a victim. Something happened to make them into that victim mentality, and they tend to recreate that victim mentality. It becomes a conditioned pattern that they do over and over again. Well, just as that happens in a negative way, just from one quick experience from your childhood, we can re-engineer that in a positive way in a very short amount of time. And the technology we're working with is, again, to bring awareness skills. And then, through the scenarios, it's all done in a very step-by-step process where we give the student a very simple skill to do. Nothing elaborate, very, very simple. The simpler, the better. And we give them a little bit of adrenaline rush, a little bit of fear. For them, just coming out in front of all their fellow students is enough to get that nervous energy, performance anxiety. That's by design because it's starting to trigger what we call that low brain just by that alone. Give them a very simple skill, and then through the group support, through the coach, through the skill of the woofer, give them 100% success. No person is done with their scenario until they've had 100% success. Now, people may seem to think that that's artificial. And sure, in a real situation out on the street, that may be artificial, but it's in the step-by-step process that will get them to that finished result where they will be able to do that in a real situation. So it's done in the step-by-step, very bite-sized chunk, digestible process. And each time we do the next scenario, we make it a little more difficult, a little more technique, a little more stress. And then step-by-step, before you know it, literally in for our kids in 2.5 hours and for the adults in 3.5 hours, they will have had the positive conditioning that can be with them the rest of their lives that someone can have in a negative conditioning that can often be with someone for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Yeah, it's definitely amazing stuff. And you know, I think, you know, the more you teach the program, the more you get people coming up to you going, oh, my gosh, I used it the other night. You know, the verbal skills is what they seem to be using. You know, I had this situation where I was in a bar and this guy, you know, was coming up and harassing me, you know, and I was able to de-escalate it, talk him down because of the course. Or, you know, I was cornered by a panhandler, as silly as that sounds, but I was so loud, everybody came running out of a restaurant to see what was going on, and you know, he went away. So I think you can teach someone some very, very valuable self-defense in a very short period of time.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is that with these schools that are using these concepts, when it comes to the physical techniques, they're applying the same, what I call a dynamic teaching methodology, and it's all in the Easy Defense system, where we start off with slow motion. Literally, in 5 to 10 minutes, you can teach somebody to hit with so much power it would stagger most people who have years and years in the martial arts training, just because it's a different training paradigm. It's not that our traditional training is wrong, but there are technologies that can get us from point A to point B very, very quickly these days. And now the schools that are employing these are taking their techniques, and the sky's the limit. where you can take virtually any technique, and through this dynamic teaching methodology, you can get amazing results in a very short amount of time. So really, the sky's the limit. We're just getting to know, just getting to begin to get a glimpse of the potential of this technology.
Wow. Now, Bill, we're, of course, you did promise you could talk a lot, and you're doing great. I'm just teasing.
Thanks, Kath.
But you're welcome. You're welcome. No, actually, you're definitely giving, I think, everybody a really good overview and a wealth of information as far as, you know, what you can do with these programs and how you can, you know, implement them into what you already have going on. We want to open up the floor to questions in just, like, about 2 minutes. But, Bill, before we do, you've been really busy. I wanted to touch base on what you've been up to. You've been up to a lot of things. You've graduated from the Ultimate Black Belt Test with Tom Callis.
Yeah.
You were promoted to fifth degree black belt recently.
Yeah.
You have started Self-Defense for Life, co-started with your wife, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are now into this Fitness for a Cause, which I actually enrolled in because I thought this was a really cool thing. Could you just touch base, like in 2 minutes, let everybody know, from a school owner's point of view, some of the benefits of participating in something like Fitness for a Cause, or, you know, what you're doing with that and all that good stuff. Just give us a little brief.
You bet. After a 2 minute or a 2 second shameless plug, I'll be launching the latest evolution of this technology called Extreme Self-Defense at the Maya Super Show this year. So look for it, because I'll be doing a certification there. Having said that, the Self-Defense for a Cause, first off, it was started by the idea of, Fitness for a Cause. It was started by the idea of Self-Defense for Life, which means, okay, we teach kick and punch, but truly, what's killing us? What's killing us is not people attacking us in the street, but really cancer, heart disease, lung disease, emphysema, you know, all that stuff, not to mention just being lazy, what we call, living in mediocrity, where we're just taking ourselves out at the knees. So the idea of self-defense is so much broader than what we have typically thought about. So with this idea of Fit for a Cause, it works on a couple levels. One, it's a way that the schools who are getting involved can incorporate an Ultimate Black Belt Test-like experience, where it doesn't have to be a full year, but you can take the same concepts, working everyone together, doing push-ups, doing sit-ups, doing getting fit, getting together for workouts, working on your diet, working on goal setting, working on just every facet of really taking control of your life, and to do it in a team-building environment, so that the schools that are doing it, they're getting their people together fired up, and it's taking on a whole new level of team-building within their school, not to mention with their family. They're bringing in their families, and they're bringing in the communities, that this is something that, since it's not traditional martial arts, it can be opened up to virtually anybody in your community. We're having people getting their mayors involved, and it's snowballing into an amazing thing. On top of that, we're doing it on a national level. So what we're doing is, with all the schools that are getting together, we're all pooling together our resources, and there's a national, international website where we get in and we all kind of stay in touch. There's a forum area where we're bouncing around ideas, we're motivating each other, we're giving great health tips, fitness tips, nutrition tips, and with each week we're introducing a new Self-Defense for Life concept that people can work with. Actually, the program just started yesterday on Valentine's Day, and this first week is going to be self-defense against obesity. Obesity is a huge problem, not so much in the martial arts because people are already pretty fit, but still there is the whole idea of getting a good nutrition base. How can we as martial artists help our students on a whole nother level in ways that we may not be doing it already? And this is a turnkey program. Now, the kicker is that one-third of the proceeds that go from each sign-up go towards a cause, and the particular cause we're working with right now, and we'll be adding causes to this. The cause we're doing right now is this beautiful old woman who lives down in Alabama. She's a 86-year-old grandmother, I believe, and she lives in an old, broken-down mobile home that is literally falling apart around her with her grandchild. And our cause is to raise money to build her a house, and we can do it pretty cheaply for about $20,000. And then in May, we're going to go all down there as a group, and we're going to build this woman a house.
Cool.
So that's the idea.
Wow. So if anybody wants to kind of check that out, you can go to Self-Defense, the number 4, Life, or is it .com? Is that right, Bill?
Self-Defense 4, as in 4, the number 4, Life.com.
Okay, and just kind of check out and see what's going on with that. That's something that's fairly new. Well, I think, Joanne, I think we need to open up the floor to questions. Hopefully everyone's got some really good information on the Easy Defense Program, what it is, how they could use it, but I'm sure they've got questions for Bill, so you guys ask away.
Number one.
We're on. So anyone who's ready to ask a question, feel free.
Were we that good? Did Bill cover that much?
I hate when I talk that much and I answer all the questions.
Well, Bill, one of the things, too, is I didn't mention until now, too, and if there are people out there still in teleconference land, they probably have their mute button still on, but if you're interested in picking up the Easy Defense Program, you can actually get that through Member Solutions and save $75 off the retail price. You just call the sales department at the 888-277-4409 number, and they can hook you up with that and give you a nice discount. But does anybody have any questions for Bill?
If nobody's asking, I'd like to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Okay, this is Fred Schneider in New York.
Hello, sir.
Hi. I have been involved with the police department on another level and have tried many times to have a self-defense course, and I totally agree with you, with your concept. I came up with very similar scenarios simply by talking to the police department and having several officers that I work with.
Awesome.
And what's actually happening on the street and how altercation actually happened. And so I had modified my own self-defense course more of preventing and quick reaction than going into elaborate schemes that take forever to learn.
Yes, sir.
And very interesting to us as martial artists, but to the average person, almost impossible. However, what I found was that even though I offered it for no cost to the parents of my students, for very little cost to the community, it was extremely difficult to even get people into the course. And I found that over and over, and I'm wondering if you have any good suggestions on that.
Boy, that you hit the $100 question there, Mr. Snyder. What I've found over the years is that, again, self-defense, there's a lot of negative stigma out there. And unfortunately, in my experience, that's because one, it's presented as it's something that has to take years and years to learn. Two, there have also been people out there who, well-meaning, have gone out and tried to teach things that maybe didn't work. And I'm talking about kind of in the old style, where, to give an example, and I love the law enforcement guys and work with a lot of them, but I also know some guys who, well-meaning, went out and started teaching what they learned from their SWAT teams, et cetera, as far as joint restraints, and really and had a lot of negative impact on these women who went out and couldn't apply these techniques. So the point being, I think there's some negative stigma that we have to overcome when we try to market the concept of self-defense as a turnkey program. I think also there's a lot of fear and denial out there, that for many people it's an admission of weakness, and I totally disagree with this as reality, but it seems to be it's an admission of weakness that there's something wrong with them if they feel the need to go in and do some sort of self-defense class. So what I've done over the past, and in my fast defense organization, we're always playing with new ideas, is to try to do a softer sell. In other words, to try to market it not so much as self-defense, but now we're going with conflict resolution. The number one topic in corporate training these days, the number one sought-after topic is conflict resolution. And that's really what this training's about. And what that does is it kind of softens the initial blow so that the wall for them to get over to come into our course is much lower and much smaller. And most importantly, the fear component is much less. It's easier to come in and take a conflict resolution course than it is a self-defense program. So that's one way that we've kind of circumvented that initial fear and denial. Another way is just getting the word of mouth that the people who experience your courses, and I have no doubt you've experienced this as well, the people that do come in and actually face that fear and try it, walk out of the door going, holy cow, this was great, I loved this. Those are the people that are going to be your hot prospects to market your program. Because it's one thing for us as instructors to talk about program, and yeah, sure, we teach it. But when the people that you teach go out and they, that the people see the light in their eyes and hear the passion in their voice, that's oftentimes enough to get them over that hump to get them in. And my final thing is, if you can get a newspaper article about your program, not TV, but a newspaper article in your local area of someone who came in and took your program, and then they go out and they write a story about it, and give it to them for free. Say, please, if you like this program, please go out and write an article about it. That, for me, that kickstarted my program probably when it started 18 years ago. That had my phone ringing for weeks. And next thing I know, I'm known in the community, and people were just coming at me faster than I could handle them.
Great. Those are some really good tips.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that help? Any other questions on that or anything else I can help with?
I mean, if nobody else has questions, I'll keep going.
Fire away.
Hey, Bill, let me help.
Go for it.
Bill, let me ask you a question. When we're engaging with, let's say, a woman that had a violent situation, rape, and we're introducing them to the program, you know, are we just throwing them in there by fire and obviously monitoring them and doing all that good stuff, but... You know, what's your approach to someone that you know who has experienced that bad, you know, scenario? How are you handling that individual in the class?
That's a great, great question. Really, one that we need to take to heart when we do this type of training, because it is a razor's edge. What makes it so successful is that we literally do take people up to their limits. We don't want to push them over, but we need to push them. And in so doing, in doing the fear training, a lot of times, the old doors and boxes that we lock away, as I mentioned before, suddenly they're open, and people can have flashbacks. It can be pretty wild. And we're not therapists. It's not our job to go in there and you know, therapize these people. However, this is an extremely therapeutic journey if it's done correctly. So when I work with adults, especially with women, I do my darn best to have as a coach a really qualified, compassionate woman to play the coach. And just having that nurturing experience, like Kathy Marler is one of the best in the world. She's not a psychologist, but she's able to really connect with each student as they come up to go into the pits of fire, if you will. And just having that nurturing experience really helps keep them in a positive mode as opposed to going to the old victim mode. The second thing is that it's incumbent on the woofer, the person playing the attacker, to be tuned in enough to where if that woman, and sometimes it happens to men, if that student starts to get emotionally shaky, to back it off a little bit to allow the coach to build them up. And I'm not saying stop the scenario. You want to keep the scenario going if at all possible to reinforce that student, because remember, this is predicated on 100% success. And so the woofer backs off a little bit, and then as the student gets a little bit stronger, come in and push it, and then really allow the student to build up and give them that successful experience. But it's a beautiful chess game between the coach, the woofer, and the student. And now, you know, to be honest, when I first started this, the concept of having some woman having an emotional breakdown scared the heck out of me because I'm not a therapist. However, through time, and actually we've learned how to do some simple things. I'll try to. This is actually well laid out in the Easy Defense Pro video, better than I think I've ever done it anywhere. But in a nutshell, what we do is there's some group dynamic things that we do where we pull the whole circle around if there is a meltdown, and actually the whole group helps pump that student up, and it's almost like a jet. It's like a jet rocket out of the depths of hell into an incredible victory for these students, and they are the students that will, two things. One, will pump you up, because I remember these students, when you see them come in and they're starting the course, they can't make eye contact and they have no, they have no confidence. And in a short amount of time, they leave and their eyes are on fire and they're standing upright and you go, holy cow, I just made a difference in this person's life very dramatically. And two, they're the ones that are going to go out and sell your program better than anyone in the whole world.
Yeah.
But it's really important that we just be cognizant that, you know, that it's pretty wild stuff. When it's done correctly, it has the power to do incredible good, but if it's done irresponsibly, well, you know, we're running a real razor's edge there.
All right, thanks, Bill.
You bet. Thank you for your question.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions for Bill? Okay.
Scared them all away.
We scared him away.
I do that. How do I do that all the time?
Right. Well, Bill,
I have a question.
Once
if nobody else jumps in there.
Yes.
About the length of your course.
Yes, sir.
Adults versus children.
Yes, sir.
I mean, simply the time, you know, 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hours. What do you find most beneficial and why?
Well, once again, I find that I can, at this point, with 18 years of doing this technology, I can work it within virtually any time frame, depending on what their parameters are. The Easy Defense Manual puts out a few different time options, and again, it gives you some pretty helpful advice on how you can extrapolate from there and get even more creative. What I find is that for the children's program, a 2.5 hour program works pretty darn well to cover the anti-bully, which is an hour program, and then the anti-abduction program, which is an hour and a half. But even with that, I've broken it down to different modules so that it's an hour and an hour and a half separately. For the adults, anywhere from, I've actually now got it down to 3.5 hours. In the Easy Defense program, we've got it at a 6 hour module, 2 3-hour sessions, which can also be turned into a rotating curriculum where you're just breaking it down even further. So, you know, the sky's the limit, but I found, again, just for me, that the minimum amount of time for the children to do both the anti-bully, anti-abduction, 2.5 hours, for the adults, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours is a pretty good program.
You prefer to have one longer session, or you break it up in smaller parts?
You know, I really haven't found a real big difference as far as the final result, as far as the efficacy of what the students get out. I think there's pros and cons to each one, but I haven't come to any decision as to whether one's better or not than another. I think the final decision comes down to logistics. What's going to work better with your schedule, with your school schedule, with your student schedule? So I don't know if that was a political answer where I danced around it, but
no.
I think it's because the sky's the limit.
You know, apparently it doesn't have that much of an effect. I personally haven't noticed it either, but I don't have that much experience of teaching the course.
Yeah, gotcha. I think in breaking it down, it does give the students some time to let it sink in a little bit. However, it's such an immersion in the process that doing it in a straight shot pretty much does the same thing. It's really a matter of logistics.
If you guys don't mind, if I add just a little bit too, I have taken just the front end of both of those programs. I've taken just an hour. There's an Easy Defense, I believe, an Easy Defense for Women course, a one-hour speech type of
right.
lesson plan.
Right.
And I have taken that and just taught the verbal stuff on the very front with maybe one scenario. And I think that's really good, especially like in Dr. Schneider's situation, for just wetting their whistle and just giving them a taste of what it really is. It's not just like, okay, it's another self-defense program. No, it's really not. It really is something that they can use at work every day to get along better with other people, you know, to de-escalate problems that they, you know, are involved in. So I think that it just depends on what your objectives are. You know,
yeah.
If you're going to teach a seminar, then that's fine, it's longer. But if you want to take different modules, it's real easy to just break it right off and teach this 1 hour of, verbal skills, or just teach 1 hour of the children's program for anti-abduction.
That's a great point, one that I neglected to mention in your previous question about how we can market this more effectively or get people to come in the doors, is that one thing I've done as well is go to Rotary Clubs, go to Brown Bags, and just do free talks, or, you know, if you can get paid for it, great, but to really do free talks where I'm talking about the basic concepts, maybe do a demo or two, and as Kathy said, maybe at the most, maybe do one drill where they get to experience a little bit. And that's, again, a great way for them to say, oh, you know, hey, this isn't so difficult. I can do this, and to overcome that initial fear of getting them into the course.
You found that is the most prevalent objection, is that they actually fear to take the course.
I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that this kind of, after 18 years of trial and error, I really think it comes down to fear. I don't think it's a, you know, I think if in some courses certainly it might be a financial constraint, but for most people, if they really want to take it, the money is no option. The money is not big anyway. I really find that it's the fear, and the more we can be aware of that and address it, you know, address it in a mm-hmm. in a very kind way, but a you know responsible way. I think it's more likely to get them to overcome that fear. In other words, if I can get somebody on the phone and I can talk to them, I can get them in the program. But it's a matter of getting that initial contact with them in the first place. Probably like you guys with your schools.
Right. Does anyone else have any questions for Bill? All right. Well, Bill Kipp, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was my pleasure.
You know, again, congratulations on graduating from the UBBT, the Ultimate Black Belt Test, and I believe Member Solutions sponsored a few meals to help you guys make it through your final graduation.
If I can be so bold, I'd like to give a huge thanks to Member Solutions. They provided a meal for us last year in Alabama, where we initially got the idea for building this house. That's actually what we did as one of our group trainings, just to give you an idea of the depth of the Ultimate Black Belt Test. And we went down and built this man a house, and one of the meals, I mean, we're talking a big meal, was sponsored by Member Solutions. And then once again this last weekend, when we were all packed into this martial arts school for 3 days with 2 hours of sleep, and the meals were the only thing we had, and again, we had a beautiful meal sponsored by Member Solutions. So cannot thank you guys enough.
Oh, you're welcome. I wasn't going to mention the sleep deprivation there, but since you did. But, you know, again, thanks, Bill, for being here. And you know, you've got the Easy Defense. You've got the FastDefense.com. You know, you've got the book, which people can also check out on FastDefense.com, Turning Fear into Power.
Right, and a DVD.
You've got Self-Defense. Pardon?
And DVDs as well.
Oh, and DVDs as well. You've got Self-Defense for Life, the number 4, life.com, if they want to check out Fitness for a Cause and jump aboard, and it's not too late to get started with that. And once again, if anyone's interested in the Easy Defense programs, you can call the sales department today, and they'll give you $75 off either the children's or the adult program if you mention the teleconference.
Wow.
And that number was 888-277-4409. And Bill, big hug, big thank you. You know, very, very awesome information. Really appreciate it.
Well, I thank you. And just my final word to everybody, anyone who is out there doing this training or thinking of doing this training, please do not hesitate to email me. I'm at billkipp@aol.com. And I love hearing from people. I'll give you any advice I can. And, you know, together we can work together and make a difference in this world. I really commend everything you guys are all doing out there.
Well, thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Be safe, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.